Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. It's always a pleasure. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening, thank you for doing that. Jerry Ripperger is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a new friend, and but he's part of an organization that you've heard me speak about many times on the show before. I've introduced you to some of their other people, the Principal Financial Group. Renee Schaff has been on the show in the past, introducing us to some of the top 10 small businesses out there who are doing a great job managing their health insurance. And Jerry is Director of Consumer Health at the Principal, and he's here to talk to us about some of the new products and new capabilities that you and I have to get ourselves insured and maybe to change our behavior a little bit. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim.
It's good to have you here. Now, one of the things that the Medicare bill of, what was it, December 04, was it that the Medicare bill was passed? And a lot of people didn't like that bill, because it was expensive, it created a lot of new entitlements and all that sort of thing. But one of the things that people generally agreed on both sides of that debate, Jerry, was that clarifying and expanding and solidifying and entrenching the health savings account, changing it from an MSA, medical savings account, to the health savings account, that element of that bill was a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. HSAs are a good thing. What they've done is provided a more affordable health insurance solution, healthcare funding mechanism for millions of Americans. As of this January, we have 3.2 million Americans that have enrolled in a health savings account,
including me.
Yeah. And we're finding that predominantly these are small to mid-size growing businesses that have first embraced health savings accounts.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, one of the things that the good thing about HSAs is they actually are a product. It's a product that actually fits the 21st century, doesn't it? I mean, it's a 21st century product that probably wouldn't have worked 20 years ago, and is absolutely something that the way the economy is evolving today, HSAs fit in perfectly, don't they?
Absolutely, and it's. As we look at this, we really have come full circle. And if we look back to the late 50s through the mid-70s, participants in healthcare plans had a fairly upfront, sizable portion of the bill they were expected to pay before the insurance kicked in. And it was in an environment where insurance truly covered catastrophic risks. With the advent of managed care particularly in the late 80s, we moved more to would characterize a $20 will fix anything system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very expensive system.
Right. So what happened, Jerry, as you know, with all the major corporations and the government programs and the types of insurance programs you were just talking about, we became adopted basically by insurance companies, didn't we?
Yeah, particularly by managed care plans under the pretense that you have a primary care physician and this person is going to be responsible for making sure that you're doing all the right things, that you're getting the appropriate care, that you're making sure you're going through all the correct protocols. And in many ways, that model worked on the receiving care aspect of it. But the important thing to look at is what's happened to the health of the United States. We often talk about the health care crisis that we have in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That's really not our real issue. We have a health crisis in the United States.
Well, the healthcare crisis is typically seen as the inability to get healthcare insurance, to have coverage, and what you're talking about is the human side of the things, right?
Absolutely. We have 64.5% of Americans are considered overweight or obese at this point in time.
Right.
You know, within the next couple of years, 25% of adults will have type 2 onset diabetes.
Brought on by the weight situation.
Absolutely. The Centers for Disease Control estimate that 75% of the $1.3 trillion we spend on health care expenses is directly related to lifestyle decisions that we make.
And with so many baby boomers, you know, almost 80 million, I should say, of those, so many of those people moving into the age when the lifestyle is going to start manifesting in these health problems, that's going to get expensive, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, the problem, the issues that we're facing, they are only going to get exacerbated by the demographic shifts that we see coming down the road.
Right, right. So, give us an example of how HSAs are going to contribute to that.
Yeah. HSAs are an integral part of getting people more engaged in making good health and health care decisions. And what they do is attach a reward to that. You know, many people today look at this and say, you know, I'm healthy, I work out, I do all these things, but my coworkers smoke and they're overweight.
Right.
And we're all paying the same premium.
Mm-hmm. And hang on, Jerry. We're going to come back. We'll get Jerry to finish that thought. And we're going to talk a little bit more about HSAs. This is an HSA in your future? It probably is, whether you know it or not. 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 17 till. There's a little Chicago for you there. Pretty good little band. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I hope you'll check out my website when you get a chance. I think you'll find it interesting. I think you'll find it helpful. It'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful if you'll listen to some of the things that our outstanding Brain Trust members have said in the past and as they're saying them even as we speak. Also, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, and that comes by email. And we have our blog, which you can subscribe to by we'll either send it to you or you can come and get it. We update that every weekday. So check out all the capability there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget there are also thousands of articles that you can read. Jerry Ripperger is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's a new friend. He's with the Principal Financial Group. We're talking about health care coverage and primarily HSAs. And, Jerry, you were talking to us a little bit about the HSAs and how we were talking about how things have changed in the 21st century. You know, I came of age in a time when the corporations that we worked for provided all of our health care and insurance. And, I worked for some major corporations, and they provided me with some pretty darn good coverage. Mm-hmm. But those kinds of things, that paternalistic approach to health care for an employee is really becoming a thing of the past, isn't it?
Well, we're certainly starting to see greater variability among employers about how they want to fund for their health care benefits. It used to be, I mean, if we go back 25 years ago, we referred to health care as a fringe benefit because it was a small cost to the employer.
Right.
Now it's a substantial part of someone's compensation package.
And General Motors, $1,500 of the price of every automobile that they make has to go to providing health care, just health care,
right,
for their employees and retirees, of which about 70% are just retirees.
Mm-hmm.
That's
certainly
doesn't
sound fringe.
No, it doesn't. It sounds prohibitive, actually.
Which has led to a lot of jobs leaving the United States. And the most common thing we hear cited as companies look to Mexico or other places to locate jobs is the cost of health care coverage.
But you just get back to this health issue. You were saying that the problem we've got, and you were blaming, I think you, if I'm not mistaken, you're blaming it on managed care, the inefficiencies and ineffectiveness of managed care, that we've got an America that's becoming unhealthy, and that's pretty much. And you know, if you travel overseas, you don't see a lot of fat people.
Yeah.
in other countries. In the United States, a lot of fat people.
Right. You know, when you get 2/3 of your population that's overweight, you clearly have an issue, and certainly can't blame managed care for the fact that we love fast food and TV
and buffets.
That's right. But clearly the managed care model was built around directing someone's health care once they were in some type of treatment or receiving some type of service. What it's not particularly good at is getting us before we're in some type of service and getting us to be more focused on our health.
And realizing that if we make a decision about our lifestyle and it creates a health problem, it's going to come out of our pocket. When you know, maybe just literally being healthy is going to have to become an economic issue, Jack. I mean, Jerry, what do you think?
Oh, it's absolutely going to have to become an economic issue, which is somewhat surprising. You would think that the very fact that you could have a better quality of living and live longer and you know, do more things would be enough. But that's not been enough. If we look at our health trends, they've declined over the last decade.
So, Jerry, you're saying that we love our money more than we love our health?
Well, certainly the statistics would seem to bear that out.
It sure sounds like it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Now just everybody just sort of sit back and take a deep breath and ask yourself this question. Do I love my money more than I love my health and basically my life? Well, you may say, well, that's ridiculous. Of course not. Well, the question is, what does your behavior demonstrate? And that's it's just like cigarettes. You know, a lot of people quit smoking because cigarettes got so expensive. You know, they didn't quit smoking because they wanted to live longer. They quit smoking because it was costing too much. Same story, isn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, the most common argument advanced for raising the cigarette tax is that when they cost more, people will stop because
absolutely.
Of the economic.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, let's talk about HSAs. And now, I know my audience has heard us describe how they work in the past, but why don't you go ahead and give us another rundown just for those who may have forgotten or who are just tuning in for the first time. Tell us how an HSA works.
Well, an HSA is an account that you establish that you can set money aside pre-tax. It accumulates tax-free, and if you use it to pay for a qualified medical expense, it's never taxed to pay for your health care expenses. It's probably the best thing the government's given us, and at least any time I can remember, and that this money is triple exempt.
Right.
So they're truly providing us a tax-free way to pay for our health care expenses. But in order to contribute to that HSA, you have to be in what's called a qualified high-deductible health plan.
Right.
Unfortunately, no one at the IRS is really in marketing, because none of the people listening would ever have named their product a high-deductible health plan if they wanted it to be attractive in the marketplace. But what that does is says, as you as a participant are going to face at least a $1,050 deductible before you start receiving benefits from your insurance policy.
And it can go up as much as up to $5,000, can it?
Yeah, for self-coverage, it could be as high as $5,250. Now, practically speaking, we don't see much above $2,500.
I have a $5,000 one.
For family coverage.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Stand by, quick break, 10 till. We'll be right back with Jerry Ripperger. He's with the Principal Financial Group, and we're going to talk some more about what you can do with your employees to provide them with health care through HSAs. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
And Jerry Ripperger is our guest. He's Director of Consumer Health at the Principal Financial Group. And Jerry, give us your website, please.
Yeah, our website is www.principal.com.
Principal, like the one at school, folks, PAL.com. Check that out, principal.com.
Yeah, we're much nicer than the principal you had at school, probably.
I would imagine so. And also, I'm looking forward to getting, tell Renee, we're looking forward to getting her back on between now and the end of the year on to introduce the 10 best companies to us, too.
Great. And I would encourage all of your listeners to go out to our website and review the guidelines for the Principal 10 Best program and then to consider nominating themselves.
Nominate yourself. Absolutely. Check that out, principal.com. And it's a pretty interesting group that we've introduced. We've done this now for a couple of 3 years, Jerry, and we've had a lot of fun with Renee on that and gotten some good information, too. Okay. HSAs, in my opinion, are a good thing. How does an employer incorporate HSAs into providing health care coverage for their employees? How does an HSA become an alternative to, say, a group plan?
That's a great question. And HSAs can certainly be group plans, much like your traditional plan you have today. And in many ways, the employer has to make a decision of what's going to be their strategy as they look to getting their employees more engaged in their health and health care. You certainly can go and say, you know, the only plan we're going to offer is a qualified high-deductible health plan with an HSA, which is a fairly predominant strategy, particularly in this under-25-employee market, that they're just moving the entire population to that. Or they can offer it as a choice. You can keep the plan we have today, or we'll give you this qualified high-deductible health plan with an HSA. So there's a couple strategies. And now what we're starting to see now is as companies have went, and some of them have had these now for 2 or 3 years because they were first effective January of 2004, is they're now saying, I'm going to offer two plans, but they're both qualified high-deductible health plans. So you still have choice, but you have choice among two of these consumer-driven plans.
And the more folks, ladies and gentlemen, the more that you and I are in control of how the money is paid for our own health care, the more we realize that, as you said earlier, Jerry, this triple deductible that we've got with this thing now, it's not taxable to us when we pay it in. It's not taxable when we use it. And we can pass it on to our heirs. That's the triple part you were talking about, right?
Absolutely.
And so when you realize that whatever you don't spend by, you know, by being healthier, whatever you don't spend by not being frivolous, you know, going to the doctor in a frivolous way, of course, go when you need to, but not using it when you don't have to. When you can become more of a healthcare consumer and less of a healthcare patient, than or you know, and not really knowing, as you said earlier, $20 will fix anything, Jerry. The more we can do that, the more I think we could get on a track toward having a much better healthcare system and maybe even much healthier people in America. What do you think, Jerry?
I think that absolutely is the goal that we have. And I think that by both empowering people and making them accountable, we will start impacting the overall health of our nation. I think there's a great quote from Milton Friedman, a very well-known economist.
Right.
His comment is, no one spends someone else's money as carefully as they spend their own.
Absolutely.
And to date, health insurance has really been about other people's money.
The paternalistic approach, exactly.
Yep. HSAs are about my money, and I know whose money I'm going to spend more carefully.
Well, you know, I think back on my kids, you know, when they were spending my money, you know, when it was daddy's money, they didn't mind spending that money, but when it was coming out of their own pockets, they were a little more discriminating about where that money went.
Absolutely. And the good news we've seen is that people are discriminating very well. We are not seeing any lower incidence of people seeking preventive care under these types of programs and under traditional programs.
Right.
So they're understanding the importance of having a long-term view rather than just a short-term savings view.
Right, absolutely. Jerry, give us the website again.
It's www.principal.com.
There's another issue that I want to debate with you and or some of your other folks sometime, and that's the small business health plans. I'd like to get the principal's position on that. Will you come back or will you help us find somebody in your organization that can come back on the show and discuss that with us?
Absolutely. We'd love to have that conversation with you.
All right. Let's make sure we make that happen, because this is an issue that, if I have anything to do with it, is not going to go away, even though we lost in May when the vote went down against us. But this is something I'm very much interested in, and I'd like to get your thoughts on that. Thank you, Jerry, for being here. Good job today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Jerry Ripperger, ladies and gentlemen, with the Principal Financial Group. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.